Hello again, listeners, subscribers, sometimes viewers, and people catching us for the first time. With you, as always, I'm Top Toes.
And I am your co-host, Denny. Welcome to the Oh Those Toes podcast. Thanks for listening.
And if you came off last week's episode and you're still listening, we love that. Although I think the episode we presented was fun, the process of getting to it was a bit interesting.
Let's call a
spade a spade. The first 10 minutes of that episode that the audience didn't get to hear was a fucking shit show.
Oh my God, it was more like 25, almost 30.
I don't know how long it took to rein that in, boot the people who needed to be booted, and cut it down to an episode that actually made sense. Once we got rolling and got the right people in the room, we had some amazing conversations with some new friends, some old friends. I think it was fine, but until that, the part that the audience didn't hear, left the audience a tease of how bad it was for us to try to control the callers until we got the
and
right
I
people.
I said a couple of times, like, that was ugly. And people didn't quite understand that it really was. Like, there was some really ugly parts.
Oh,
it wasn't just stupidity. Like, it was...
We don't mean ugly. Well, we do mean ugly in terms of some things we saw because we didn't have the cameras shut off by default. But we also mean ugly as far as some of the comments thrown.
Yeah. There was some serious trolling and some really insulting and offensive things that a few people said. And
yeah, what was weird is we had person X, who probably never should have been in the call-in in the first place, getting insulted by person Y, who also never had a purpose being there. So they weren't even insulting, like, there was something.
Not us.
Insult the foot fetish, but right. For the most part, I can tell you what happened was our link went elsewhere from our channel, our social media channels. Somebody said it went to some deep recess of, I don't know. It's social media. We're not even.
I don't know. It was just that somebody decided, oh, this is a good link to troll. So
Exactly. And you know what? If we want to do that again, either we select the people to join us or we only put it out to our friends.
We almost never omit anything, right? We just, if we make a mistake, we just push through and it's funny sometimes. It's not, you know, whatever. We just keep recording. We almost never pull stuff out, but we really had to this time.
Yeah, and not something that we could ever play in an outtake show.
Yeah.
Just stuff that is in the bottom of the waste barrel where it belongs.
But I was, like, towards the end of that show, I was really laughing. Like, we were really...
Oh, yeah. Once we got our friends and, you know, our new friends, old friends, our people in the room, then it was exactly what we wanted.
Right.
It just took a bit to get our people instead of random trolls from the internet.
And we'll do it again, but I think, you know what? Originally what I'd done is we just posted it to our friends and we waited a few days. And then I think a day or two before we posted it kind of just on our social media. And I think maybe we won't do that. I think next time you're going to have to message us for the link.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to email or DM or whatever.
I thought that's how I handle Twitter, because I know that my Twitter following could be bad.
That might have been my fault then, because I put the link on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I put the link on open Facebook, but open Instagram, but I think my Instagram following is probably a lot nicer, more respectful than my Twitter following.
Yeah. Twitter. You know, we've always said this. Twitter is just fucking wild.
Yeah, it used to be Tumblr was the Wild Wild West. Twitter is turning into the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
But, so something funny that was said on that when your husband popped in. And I think we were debating back and forth as to what name we were going to refer to him as, because we still jokingly have called him Mr. Any. Mr. Lift might have been on his actual handle when he first came in. And then it got changed to bottom drawer photos, which is kind of, you know, where
right before he started branding his photography.
Yeah, so that's his branding now.
Yeah.
And we joked about, you know, something we had talked about that at some point there needs to be an episode where he pinch hits for you and we get to have the Oh Those Toes podcast with Top and Bottom. But immediately, yeah, we did. Immediately, I don't know if he did or you did, had to disclaimer that it's not because he's a bottom.
That was me. I was just like, I think it's just funny because neither one of your names are, you know, your name is not, your name is Top Toes and Hose because that's what you used to post or still post. And
his name is Bottom Drawer Photos because he takes the type of photos you hide in your bottom drawer.
Right. Yeah. So it just, and then we caught that, right? We like give you a nickname and it was like Top and then him is Bottom. And it's just funny that I have a top and a bottom in my life.
But I think that's the point that I'm working towards. Yeah, we neither of us are specifically a top or a bottom. I think all in all, we all are kind of very switchy people.
You know what's funny too, though, is that I think you're more of a bottom and he's more of a top. Like when it comes to sexy stuff. So I think it's funny.
I feel like that's your perception alone.
You know, I think you're pretty bottomy sometimes. I think you're pretty subby a lot of the times. And I think with the right person in your life, you would be fucking subby as fuck.
But I can't do that all the time, and it's got to be the right person, I think.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's how my husband is like, he is not submissive in the majority of his life. But if I really wanted to, I mean, he would be, you know. I just don't like it that way. I prefer it when he's more top in the bedroom. So.
And that's switches. What I think.
It's like 50-50. Like, it switches all the time. I mean, I've had
I would say.
I mean, yeah.
Since you're not sleeping with me, I think my opinion is a little better than yours on this. I would say I'm really switchy. But I think that's where I wanted to kind of, we've talked on the air about the gross misperception that all foot guys are subs, are bottoms. And we've talked a little bit about some of the dominant things, male dominant aspects of the foot fetish, not a whole lot, but I don't think we've really spent a lot of time talking about, you know, where is the place of the switch in the foot fetish world?
It's so confusing because even if you're a dom, if you're worshiping feet, you're still at the bottom. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. We haven't talked too much about that. I mean, we mention it all the time, right? And
we mention it as almost a declarative statement or a defense of the community.
Right.
We mention it as, don't always assume that all foot guys are subby.
And I was, I complain about Twitter being wild and shit, but Twitter is extremely helpful at times. Like, I've seen several posts where people, both male and female, producers and models, are kind of sort of giving pointers to new models. And one of the tips that they give is, like, don't just assume that everyone in your audience, like your entire following, are fucking submissives and want to be treated like shit.
Oh, and my even God, if you are, please say that again and louder for the girls in the back.
But even if you are a submissive, that doesn't mean you want to be you want to be humiliated. You know what I mean? There's a big
difference,
and there's a fine line.
There's a phrase that comes out of the kink community. I may be a bottom, but I'm not your bottom.
I like that.
Plenty of guys might be submissive, or like me, might be submissive, might be willing to be submissive for the right woman, but it doesn't mean that everyone I encounter in the scene, I'm going to be taking orders from. Far, far from it.
You're just because they have
really angry really fast.
Exactly. Just because they have a pair of cute feet doesn't mean that they're going to call you some type of. So I'm not going to say any names, but I'm going to bring up a conversation or an incident that happened that you told me about many years ago. You met up with someone, and then this someone was collabing with another model.
Oh, now,
this
yes,
other yeah. model like you guys were gonna do a collab all together, like, or just meet real quick or something, nothing serious, right? And then
let me give you a bit of the correct setup. So I get a phone call that my friend from out of town is pretty close to me, and I'm like, oh great, let's meet up, awesome. Where are you gonna be? All right, great. Meet up, have I think a small meal and a coffee. And she's like, oh, I'm going to see so-and-so later. Do you want to come along? I'm like, well, sure. I got the rest of the night free. I don't think it might be a Friday. I'm not doing anything tomorrow. I'll roll on with you. And she's like, yeah, let me just call up my so-and-so. And there is where your part of the story goes to.
Right. So she'd apparently assumed that you were a simp. And was like, well, what's he going to pay for? Is he going to pay for half of the hotel? Or is he going to pay for a meet or whatever the heck else they wanted you to pay for? And, you know, you did a look of disgust. You had this look of disgust and was like, hell no. So, not because you didn't want to meet so-and-so, but because you weren't there as a submissive simp.
Nor was I there to try to, you know, collaborate on any photographic work or anything.
Right. So she wanted a fee just to meet her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was either the two different ways you could take it was either one, I'm going to pay because I'm going to be some sort of submissive party in some sort of session, or B, I'm going to pay because I'm a photographer who's going to be taking away materials from this. And neither of which was true.
No.
I was trying to just continue the hang with a friend of mine and respect the fact that they had other plans that I wasn't necessarily made aware of, and would have happily helped them do photos or whatever for the opportunity to hang.
That would have been the equivalent of like what happened in New York. Right, because I was there with Goddess Rhonda and Goddess Jordan,
yeah.
And Goddess Rhonda said, "My friend's gonna come over real quick, and he's a photographer and a producer, 10 Toes Down, Q Quantum,
yep.
Who's also been a guest on the show."
Yes.
And that would have been like if I said to her, "Oh, is he gonna pay for half of this hotel room? Is he gonna pay me like an hourly rate?" Even though he was there to see her, you know, not me. Like they were old friends. So
yeah.
And I was just like, oh, cool, you know. And so he came up and he hung out in our room while we got dressed and we got to know each other and like it came out great friends, you know. So I don't think that
and everybody... then I got to meet him a little later, and I'm glad that your situation didn't go the way mine did.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, I don't know if it's that everybody thinks once they've reached a certain level that they truly, like, they believe their own hype, right? Like, they truly are goddesses and they're God's gift to men and that every man should pay. Now, listen, if that's how you live your life and you only surround yourself with that type of men, that's fucking more power to you. However, we have to know that not everyone is like that. Not everyone in our lives are going to want to be treated that way. Not everyone that we come across is going to want to be treated that way. So.
And then we get to the idea of, it might be an odd way to think of it. If you were a woman who is, and forget the paid part, forget the finance of it. You're a woman who is into men with a foot fetish. There are plenty of them out there. So whether you be a content creating type person or just a, you know, a fetishist.
Just a fetishist, yeah.
There is plenty to enjoy and experience, and it's probably all new to you, with a foot fetishist who isn't going to be the bow down groveling worshiping. And that's, I think, what we really haven't talked about. But I don't know that the audience, that the dominant members of the audience need to be told how to have fun with feet, but possibly the women do? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I mean, you know, I'd like to... Well, we have had a few guests on the show that are into feet and are not necessarily submissive.
Yeah, we've talked to people who practice bondage. We've talked to people who practice Bastonado, Falica. That is
our good old friend Charlie, right? Like, he's not a submissive. He doesn't, that's not how he identifies. So,
I think in season one, we struggled to find a way to describe what most people describe as foot worship when it's not done in a submissive way.
Right. So for example, at the risk of disclosing too much, as always, right?
We do.
If the husband and I are making out, things are getting hot and heavy, at some point, sometimes he'll say, like, give me that mouth, right? And so then I, like, kiss him or whatever, or put my mouth wherever he wants. And other times, maybe right after that or right before that, he'll say, give me that foot. So then I, you know, bring up my foot and I shove it in his face. Now he's sucking and licking feet, but he's definitely not in a submissive role.
Exactly. So, and that's where we come to the, what do you call that? Yeah, he's sucking toes, he's licking soles, he's nibbling arches, especially if he's biting. But he's not, is he still worshiping? The act probably gets to the same act that one would call worshiping, but it's definitely not eating undertone.
No, he's eating feet.
Eating feet. I like that.
I mean, you know, let's eat some feet. Like, you eat pussy, you can eat some feet in the same way.
I mean, the other thing that, you know, if I'm definitely not in a submissive role, but, you know, and as last week Bliss said, what does she say exactly? We fuck a lot. I'm like, yeah, we
did. Do you rip her nylons? That, can I just ask you that? Do you rip her nylons when you're in, not in a sub type of headspace and you're being like aggressive? Because I can totally see that happening too, right? Like,
I keep myself at bay on that unless they're already damaged.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if they're a little bit run or there's a toe poking through, yeah, forget it. They're on the table to destroy because they're in some way harmed anyway. The ones that haven't been, I try to keep intact because, you know,
they're expensive.
They are a commodity. And even if you get them cheap, you know.
Yeah. Always, you don't want to interfere with her collection. Yeah.
Right. And it's absolutely always that big sadness when you get a pair of nylons and you go to put them on. Like, this pair is a run too. I just really wanted to shoot in them. You know, maybe that's the thought process that we share together, is that, you know, the fancy ones, the interesting ones are purchased with the intention of doing some shooting. So if they get destroyed before you get a chance to shoot in them, that is like the biggest letdown.
Right. It is. Yeah.
But going back to fucking a lot, and, you know, I'm going to glow a little bit that she said that on the air. Like, that was her opening line.
You know what? We have come a long way, because when we first had her on, when you guys were, I don't know how long you'd been together then, but when we first had her on.
Been on the air since COVID, and we got together the New Year's before that. So we were like,
I think it was like about a year. That, and then she came on, but she was, first of all, she was very nervous, and then second, it was like pulling teeth to get her to talk about your sex life.
It was a bit of a dance. Now, granted, I had to
get real nasty. I had to get down and dirty and be like, all right, so where's the stick in his foot? Like, where are you sticking your foot? How did this, like, you know, I did really be super fucking nosy
and then
get that information out of her.
And then once that came out, then I was more comfortable saying other things. So we had the episode where we talked about oral lacerations, and
well, she said she almost broke, like, yeah, there's been another episode where she was a guest on, where she was talking about how she was like almost broke your nose from writing your face.
So yeah, we've come a long way, but
really surprised that she was like, she wasn't like, I'm his girlfriend or I'm his lover or I'm a partner. Like, she was just like, we fuck a lot.
I did the mental math. Since our first episode was in October, we had been together 10 months at that point.
Yeah, I was almost here. Yeah, but you know, it was a very, very fast year because it was like the equivalent of 3 years because of how much time you spent together and without anybody else, right? Like, yeah. COVID, man. COVID
changed a lot of things.
COVID forced marriages and shit, like common law marriages.
It's very true. Very true. Yeah. And I think it might be worth acknowledging that lately we've been, I don't want to say that we're stats oriented, but we've been looking because we're at a point that we've been on the air for a while and building a really solid fan base. And we have started looking at, you know, where are we? How do we rate? How do we rank? And what I'm very happy about is the podcasts that maybe are a little above us are not the COVID pet projects. Those have all gone away. We are no longer a COVID pet project. We are here to last.
Also, you know, podcasting is the new thing.
It like, is. And we like saw a dramatic spike in it during COVID. And now we're seeing the fall off.
It's even worse now.
Is it?
It is. Because, you know, I've mentioned before that I'm obsessed with the show Love is Blind. Okay. And I don't I'm not into reality TV shows often. And if I were, I would definitely not be ashamed to say it. It's just I do like the documentary type ones, like I'll watch Hoarders and there's like a cop one that I watch, or like 48 Hours or, you know, shit like that. Cause I'm obsessed with true crime as well. But this is like purely like junky Love is Blind. And I'm totally obsessed with it. And I feel like every single person that makes it like to the end, like their next step is a podcast. I swear, like every single person that's left that show for the last three seasons has a podcast now. Just the new thing. That's just what everybody does. Yeah. Fucking Noriega has a podcast.
If you've got that sort of celebrity where people go, what is that person famous for? Oh, they're famous for being famous. And the funny thing is they then turn to. There are a few that are famous now because of their OnlyFans or whatever. But a lot of them now, they turn to the OnlyFans or they turn to the podcast. Maybe a few of them turn to both.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so speaking of our people that we never speak of, but we always speak of somehow, Kim Kardashian also has a podcast.
Okay.
It is actually quite interesting. It's about a case, or I guess cases that she takes on to try to get them their guilty verdict overturned and whatnot. It's really interesting. I'm really impressed.
Did I miss something where Kim Kardashian became a lawyer?
She is, I like to say she's in law school, but that's not the route she's going. She's doing like kind of like an internship type of thing. I forget what it's called. But so she's not actually in law school. She's an apprenticeship, I guess. She's working for a law firm, and they're basically training and teaching her, and then she's going to take the bar at the end.
Oh, is she in one of the few states left in the union where you don't have to go to law school? There are.
So that would be California.
California? You can quote, the term of art is read for the bar.
Yes. I mean, technically, you never have to. It used to be, I think, that you never even had to set foot in. What's the, you know, that guy, that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, Catch Me If You Can?
Yes.
I can't remember the original con artist's name.
Yeah.
But he passed the bar.
Mm.
Like, he just fucking studied for it all on his own and passed
the bar. I think in most states, it was like the 50s where they finally set the law schools, well, pardon me, the bar examining commissions said, okay, no, you have to actually have a law degree before we allow you to sit and take the bar exam. But it's interesting to know that California still allows, quote, reading for the bar. So that's what she's doing. Good for her. And you know what? To whatever firm who said, okay, I'll take Kim Kardashian, that probably a gold mine, because her celebrity probably brings in so many clients.
So I actually think they were her lawyers.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a it's a win-win situation. But
being a lawyer is a hustle. It's absolutely a hustle.
So she helped a woman who was convicted for like on a drug charge, and she got like 25 years. It was something absolutely ludicrous. So she helped this woman years ago. And see, this is the kind of shit that we don't hear. Like, I had to dig deep and dive through this.
We hear the crazy bullshit. We don't hear the cool stuff.
Right. There was more articles written on the fact that she Instagrammed something about her toes than there was about her getting this woman released from prison after being in there for 20 years on some very, very basic drug charge. But she did that. She hired her lawyers to help with this woman's appeals and shit like that. And so she felt something. She felt accomplished, and she got a lot of, I don't know, you know, whatever she got out of it. But she ended up deciding that that was what she's going to do. I mean, her dad's a lawyer. Why wouldn't they?
True enough.
Or was, I should say.
I don't think you stop being one unless you're disbarred. He might not be practicing anymore, but he's still always going to be a
lawyer. Didn't he pass?
Oh, okay. Well, then that's the other kind of the pass. All right. So, and I actually feel good about giving a little nod to a Kardashian. But while we're nodding podcasts we enjoy, I want to give a little shout out to, and I apologize if I butcher her name. I've only seen it typed. I believe it is Esme Louise James. She is the host of a podcast called Kinky History. Love her stuff. Love her stuff. She's actually a PhD candidate out of the University of Melbourne. Brilliant, brilliant woman. And I think I do believe her PhD is kind of related to what she podcasts about. And so.
Cool.
Yeah.
We should check that out. Yeah.
If people have been watching my Instagram stories or continue to watch my Instagram stories when she's got an interesting bit, I've been sharing them. She did an episode on foot fetish that I totally enjoyed and also looked and said, we touched on a lot of that. She's working on a PhD and we knew a bunch of that stuff already. We're doing all right. But I love listening to Esme, and hell, I'll throw in the show links today, just to her Instagram, and you can find everything else from there. Because, and again, apologies if I screwed up the first name. Esme is not a name I've seen before, so if I'm pronouncing it wrong,
is it Esme like short for Esmeralda? Because those are the only
I know. It's E S M E with an accent over it.
That's Esme.
Esme. She's Aussie. She's not Hispanic. Ah. So yeah.
Funny, I kind of along those lines, because you said that we're not doing so bad, I got a message, and I didn't want to bring it up, but I'm going to because I think it's funny. Somebody was saying, you know, like, I just found your podcast and I'm really enjoying it. And he was like, I'm a big foot fetishist and I enjoy all things foot fetish. But I especially love foot fetish podcasts, like in general, because you know there's so many now. And he was like, but yours is the smart one.
But ours is the smart one. Well, I did just say that we covered the a lot of the topics that a PhD decided was worth covering in her podcast. Granted, it took us 3 years. She did it in a half an hour. But I love that we're the smart one. That's great.
Yeah, and I asked, you know, I probed. I said how much I appreciated, and I thanked him, and I probed. I said, so just out of curiosity,
who are the dumb ones?
If we're the smart ones, like, which ones are the dumb ones?
And if you said it like that, thankfully you were probably typing and didn't say, if we're the smart one, which ones are the dumb ones? And
oh my gosh. Yeah.
And you can tell me that answer off the air. Let's take a quick break.
You know exactly who it is. I don't even have to say.
We're not going to go there. Instead, we're going to take a quick break. Maybe you'll hear an ad and we'll get paid. Maybe you'll be back in 2 seconds. We don't know. And when we do get back, I'll finish the sentence that started with while we're fucking a lot.
Oh gosh. We'll be back then.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Okay, welcome back. So what was it you were saying about fucking a lot?
Not my quote.
But yeah, you were gonna address something about you fucking a lot. Like,
well, see, I just, there's something in my mind that, you know, when you use the word fucking, that just has a sort of male dumb connotation, right?
Yeah. It's usually men who say like they.
I
get it.
No, it was
the men to the fucking.
It was the men to the fucking. We fuck a lot, but still, yeah, that's that kind of visceral male dom kind of energy. Even if you don't consider yourself a dom, you know, it's that energy, and so, yeah, if we're fucking a lot of the time, her foot's going to be in my face because I'm going to pull it there. Like you said, you know, it's that kind of taking. And then you get into, I'm going to pull it there and I'm going to lick her soul or suck her toes or do something that, you know, provides her additional stimulation, because we've discussed the whole footgasm concept. And I think the way to be dominant in the foot world a lot, or a way to be very dominant in the foot world, is to, in that sort of pleasure giving dom, like, okay, not only am I fucking you right now, but I'm also going to give you these additional sensations from doing this with your foot at the same time. And I'm sure there's non-foot ways to do that, you know. I'm sure there's, you know, people touch nipples and grab breasts when they're fucking. People probably grab and spread ass cheeks when they're fucking. And we grab an ankle and eat feet when we're fucking, if we can use your term there. There's nothing submissive about that.
I mean, so for me, if he's on top, then my feet are doing whatever the fuck he wants them to do. But if I'm on top, typically my feet are doing whatever the fuck I want them to do. Mm. And so the time when I feel like I'm being dominant when it comes to foot play is typically with him laying on the floor and me shoving my foot in his mouth.
And that's right?
And there are times, typical... and that has nothing to do with foot worship. You know, we're talking about worshiping. That has nothing to do with worship. That is just me stretching the fuck out of his mouth, right? Or forcing him to smell, right?
Stroll across the cheek,
a good smack across the cheek, like forcing him to smell. Now, I mean, I know he's enjoying it, but I'm still forcing him to do it. And then there's other times when I'm literally like, you know, earlier today, I'm washing the dishes and he literally picks up my leg, removes my slipper, and takes like a big whiff. I mean, it's pretty dominant of him. I wasn't like, you know, that's what he wanted and that's what he got and that's what he took.
He's doing a thing that most people would say, oh, slipper smelling, that is such a like beta male thing. But he's doing it in such an alpha male way.
Right, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a mistake that a lot of foot fetish models make, is that they think that they confuse bitchy for dom. So they think that the bitchier they are, the more cruel and humiliating they are to their followers, the more they're going to want them. And that works for some.
And that,
sure, it does. But they don't want to be disrespected. Even if they're submissive, a lot of them don't want to be disrespected.
And then that also gets to the switchy people, you know. And I think all four of us in the relationships we're describing have the capacity to be switchy people. When you're interacting with, you know, if you're interacting with someone on social media and it's based on likes and comments and retweets, you might be, as a switchy guy, interacting positively with some of those things that are female dominant oriented. It doesn't necessarily mean that, one, that you want to be their sub, two, that's your entire personality, or three, that the next level stuff isn't like, no, now you've gone from dominant to bitchy and you're I'm not a
right anymore. So I have a type of submissive. So I've had very few that I interact with on a regular basis, right? My most favorite one right now is actually very alpha male. He's very dominant. That's my cowboy, right? So he's like very tough, very rough.
So do you have to push him past his point? Do you have to emotionally overpower him to get him to submit?
So it's like pulling teeth. And I tell him this all the time. It's like pulling teeth, but the challenge is welcome for me. Like, I like brats, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, I get greater pleasure, immense pleasure, when I can, sorry, there's a storm here. I don't know if you heard that, but I get immense pleasure from, making the strongest of men weak. So when they come to me already, like groveling and like, oh, look, your boot and the floor, I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, that's great, you know, mm-hmm. And I'll play with you for a little bit, but I just don't get pleasure from it. Right. And so there's been a couple, right? So I tend to have nicknames for them. And as I think back, as I look back, you know, to like my serious play subs, they're all kind of dominant men in their everyday lives. Some more than others.
That's always been the in some ways, it maybe you would call it a stereotype, but when you looked at the old school mistress who owns a dungeon, your Mistress Helga stereotype. Those guys who want to be tied to something and paddled to within an inch of their life. History and tradition has always said those guys come from like the Wall Street. I am the boss of the universe at all times. And in order to get some sexual relief, I need to have that turned on its fucking head.
Right. But see, it's not just that. It's not like in their profession and in their, you know, I mean, like it's a lot of it also in their sex life. So obviously we talk about sex a lot, and one of the things, I mean, I get to know them, right? So I ask a lot of questions.
We talk about sex?
I meant like my subs and I. We talk about sex a lot. And so I try to, you know, I ask for their history and things they've done and what they've tried and what they haven't, because I want to know obviously what they're interested in and what we have to work with, right? We discuss limits and all that. And so
I want you to send me just for purely educational purposes. I want to see your sub questionnaire.
My sub questionnaire is only for those that are trying to submit to me on a like a long-term, almost 24/7 basis.
I would still love to see that, right. But I didn't mean to derail your
story. So my last guy, actually, I didn't have him fill it out, surprisingly. I didn't fill it out. But I did make him, he did take the BDSM test with us, and he was like super like fucking like 85% switch or some shit like that. So, what I'm finding that these men have in common is that they're dominant in the bedroom too.
Okay.
So all of their, or most of their sexual interactions, they're like their daddies. They're the ones doing the fucking. They're in control. They're doms. you know, like I've, and part of the thrill, you know, is, you know, so for me, so one of the things that I really enjoy is like, while they're being dominant to their partner, I'm in their head and they're doing shit for me. So it's like proxy doming.
Yes. Yes. I told a story on the air with Bliss about a literal proxy doming, where I slapped a human carpet with her foot. It was like,
right. Yes.
Full proxy. But,
but that was literal. Like that was like literally.
I also understand it in a sort of, a distance play dynamic, you know, when you're doming somebody and they also have a sub and indirectly or sometimes maybe more directly, you're actually affecting their submissive with what you're doing to them. Yeah.
So if I'm doming someone with a partner, I will make them do humiliating things. Where they're like, no, I can't do that. Like, what's she gonna think? And I'm like, just fucking do it. And so they do it, and it's like, it's just amazing because they'll never do it on their own, you know.
Oh yeah.
So
you've got some serious skills for mind fuck. not that you and I have played, but I know. I just
thank you so.
We didn't have to ever discuss it for me to know.
So you know, one of the things that I like for them to do is like say my name while they're fucking someone else, right?
Oh, and Jesus so, Christ!
So yeah, right. So you're, one of them was pushing, like,
"Do you have a side hustle with a divorce attorney?"
No, never a married person.
Okay,
like
okay.
You know, like this person that he's like having a friends with benefits situation or somebody's fucking or whatever.
Oh.
And so I'll say, okay, the next person, like, you know, like he'll say, well, I have a date with a girl, so I won't be available tonight. So I'll pick the clothes. I'll be like, this is what you're going to do. Like, this is where you're going to take her. And then, you know, halfway through, midway through, like, I want you to go to the bathroom, take a picture of your dick, you know, whatever. So it's a whole like evening of fun. Right. But at the end of the night when they're fucking, I want them to say my name. And this one particular person would say, fuck no, I will never do that. I cannot do that. And I'm like, dude, you could totally pull it off. Like, you can be like anything for you, baby. Like,
oh, you gave me out. You gave me out. Ugh. Just lost a tiny, tiny bit in my estimation of you.
I'm like, it's such an easy name. You know what I mean? It's not yeah. like you're saying Rebecca and then like you're just molded into something else. Like you could even bone it and nobody would even notice. I
mean, yeah, you could totally definitely. Yeah.
You know?
Your name has an inherent loophole. It's a lot easier for.
Yep. So, yeah. But so I, you know, it's. Being a foot fetishist does not mean that you have to be a top or a bottom.
No.
It does not mean that you have to choose what to be a dom or a sub.
You can remain enjoyed middle of the road.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. You can be right down the middle and not have to be humiliated for it or disrespected for it, or you can. Like,
and I think as somebody who is switchy, I enjoy it all three ways. I enjoy it if I'm being dominated. I enjoy it if I'm dominating. And I enjoy it if it is just a romantic, tender, no power dynamic in play at all encounter.
Yep.
You know, is rubbing someone's feet inherently submissive? Kind of sounds it. But if it's in the context simply of taking someone's feet and rubbing them and giving them pleasure,
not because you're told to or asked. Yeah, like what if you're a daddy dom and your thing is to nurture? Absolutely. Then you have to give pleasure. You have to. Like that's, you know.
Yeah, and I think we've discussed. I'm not very much a hard dom. I am not a sadist. That first and foremost, that is like, well, we did the BDSM test episode. I'm not a sadist.
Right.
I do not get a whole, despite the fact that I carve custom paddles for people, I don't get a whole lot of enjoyment at all out of bang, 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 bang.
Despite the fact that I use those paddles to bang, 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 I get just a little pleasure out of it, not a whole lot.
So, yeah, my dom style could be a little more daddy, or it's just a take what I want. But what I want in the take what I want is to give some sort of pleasure. You know, one of my favorite kinks is orgasm control, and that can go in either direction, you know, of orgasm denial or forced orgasm. And, you know, if you're talking about having sex with somebody and then at the same time sucking their toes, or, you know, if you can't get your hands involved and you're giving a foot rub at the same time or whatever, and you're overloading your partner with different sensations from different parts of their bodies, that's nothing submissive about that.
Right. I mean, something as minor as tickling, right?
Yeah.
So in the process of making very few tickle videos, but in the process of
doing that, I just recently saw a clip of you being tickled that I never even expected to see. It was just the tiniest clip, maybe like as a teaser on your
my Twitter yeah.
or something. Yeah.
It's advertising on my Gumroad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My toes are tied together, and then my entire feet, both my feet are tied to a bar, so they're lifted. Ooh. They're suspended, my feet.
I was going to say, if you invested in a spreader bar, but I'm like, no, you guys have like an entire full workout area. You have bars.
Yeah, time. I just tied it to the squat bar. Yeah, but, you know, in the process of making these videos, we've discovered that although I hate being tickled, like, I kind of like it. I mean, you're laughing. It's so fun, right? But mostly, though, the husband fucking loves it.
Well,
he loves that type of control.
I have to confess, and a little bit of admitting on the air, but I don't think I'll be held accountable for that. The only time I actually safe worded what wasn't even really meant to be a scene, but I safe worded it in sex with Bliss because she started tickling me.
Tickling your feet or your?
I think it was more like
armpits or your middle.
I think it was
middle?
In her thigh. I you know what? I don't remember because the problem was I started to get into that. Like, I'm not 100% conscious and not 100% in control of my reaction situation. No, I safe worded because if she continued, she was probably going to get violently kicked in the head.
Okay, yeah. But that's the beauty about being tied up, right? And then also, like...
Yes, yeah, there
also,
was no bondage
the thing is, too, that... Because I get violent like that, too. Like, I start fucking, like, you know, fighting it. But when it's for a video... I can't.
It's a little different though, because you've got the opportunity to step out of yourself slightly.
But you know, the husband is really good at recognizing when I'm just about to that point. Like, I just
right.
like,
he's
the laugh changes. I start like dry heaving almost. I'm like panting, like.
And in the bedroom, the workout room, tied to the weightlifting set, he can push you beyond that point if you're well secured. For a video, he's probably not going to push you to that point.
Yeah, no, but I, you know, I always feel drained. Like, I feel really exhausted afterwards. Like, I'm so tired. Like, I've had a full workout in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I also feel really good because I just laughed my fucking ass off, you know. So
it's
I'm
not
just
really
like,
a sub-job
like
situation.
I don't even know. Like, I used to say that I absolutely hated it, and I still do. Like, I don't like to be tickled, but I kind of enjoy it. You know, it's kind of fun. I like it.
I haven't had the opportunity where I can safely get pushed to that point. You know, I think in order for that to happen, I'd have to be with somebody who had some bondage skill, or have some non-skill bondage equipment, you know, like cuffs to a bedpost kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then maybe somebody can push me.
So that you can push and pull and kick and everybody'd still be safe.
Right, right. Yeah. Because in an unbound situation, I'm like, nope, I am safe wording out of this because one, it's not an enjoyable situation. Maybe if you push beyond where I am, it could be that beyond pain to pleasure again. But I know in an unbound situation, I'm just going to hurt you. And that's not what anyone wants. You know, I don't want a situation. Right. I don't want a situation where I am like feeling that sort of anger, rage, negative emotion of it.
But it makes you angry? It doesn't make you laugh?
No, it's not. Yeah. I don't know. It's not something I'm going to put as a hard limit. Right now, it's kind of in the soft limit realm. And I think with preparation, not to sound like Batman, but with preparation, it could be something I'm willing to try again, but it's going to take some prep and some.
So, like, that's the only time that I really just beg. Like, there are two instances where I beg. One is when I'm being tickled. I'm like, please, please, please stop, right? But I'm still not safe wording, so he doesn't stop, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second is when I'm like right about to go and he's teasing and I'm like, it gets a little beggy, and then after a while I just get mad. Then I get mad and I'm like, you just fucking, like, I'm just keep doing that.
Yeah. So I've definitely, you know, where you've, at the beginning of this episode, you pegged me more at the bottom. I've definitely more recently played with the over-under stimulation, constant but not quite enough stimulation kind of, that brings on the begging. And also, as we've kind of discussed, you and Mr. Lift fell into the fun with experimenting with CBT a little earlier than Bliss and I, but the experimentation with that, where it's, yeah, you get to the beggy point. You absolutely get to the beggy point, but there's a difference between the beggy point and safe word.
Right. Right. I mean, you can beg for a really long time.
As long as your partner understands the beggy point is the point of stay exactly right there.
Right.
Because a little more is going to be.
Ugh. Yeah. I've really, like, God, my husband is a saint, because I'm just, I'm going to say I'm difficult to please. I'm going to say that. Because once I get overstimulated, it's very hard for me. Like, once it's too sensitive, it's too much, I can't do it anymore. You know? Okay.
All right. You're this years old when you realize that that's not you. That's everyone. If you get to overstimulation,
no,
90% of women on this planet, it's very hard to back off and get there.
I don't think so. Like, in discussions I've had with many sex workers and friends, like, I mean, sure, everybody, that's why it's called overstimulation, right? So I get it. I get that part. But I'm just saying, like, there comes a point where if I just cross just a little bit over, like, I'm done. Like, well, like, it's not going to happen. We're not doing it anymore. Like, I'm upset. Like, I get angry and I'm upset.
Well, understand.
It's hard. Justifiably, you know? So. Like,
but in my experience,
ruined orgasm for me is no fun. Ruined orgasms for me, edging. Neither of those things I find appealing. I fucking hate it. And I know, I'm like, I just lost 5 followers. You know,
I'm with you, girl. That, I lose but... those 5 as well. I edging and ruined orgasms. No, not.
And I get a lot of requests for, you know, for JOIs with, like, ruined orgasms or.
Hey,
denial.
Your fans want it, so. Give it to them. Don't take it for yourself.
Speaking of fans, before we go, shameless plug. I recently changed my free OnlyFans to. I tried to do it for $1. So what was happening is I was trying to weed out all the, like, shitty people, because I was getting, like, dick pics, and I don't. mind the occasional dick pic from somebody that I have an established friendship with, as long as there's some kind of a, like, agreement, even. Like, even warn me, like, say me, hey, I'm about to send this or whatever. It's fine. I'll deal with it, right? But, like, just never said a word, never say hello. They're sending dick pics. They're sending nasty messages. They're, like, just being ugly, you know? And I was like, okay. And then, and every time I look, it's, like, some anonymous person that has been following me for 2 years and has never purchased a single thing. So I'm like, okay, you know what? On top of the fact that you're getting off of me for free, you're being fucking rude. So instead of just blocking, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to weed everybody out. So I was going to have my OnlyFans be $1.
Okay.
Except they fucking changed the minimum. It used to be you can have $1 OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed the minimum. You can't have it any less than $4.99. So I'm like, oh, fuck, I already sent this message out. I already changed it. I already did it, you know. So I did it. And then what that did is it unlocked all of my pay-per-view stuff. So I had to go back in there. It's a fucking mess.
Oh, God.
It's a mess. So in order to try to correct that, I decided to go with loyal fans instead. Because loyal fans has a tiered system. So the same name will be, there's a free, completely free to the public, to everybody. There's a followers one where you can follow me but not subscribe. And then there's a subscription one where you pay the monthly fee and subscribe. And I'm going to make sure that I have different privileges within those tiers.
Are we going to have the link to that in the show links?
I guess we should, right?
Well, we could just tell people they got to dig a little harder.
I mean, the link is on my snip feed, and my snip feed is on my Twitter. And
all right, we'll link your snip feed, and that will
snip feed is on the Oh This Toes website, I think, anyway.
If it's not, it's going to be as soon as we finish.
But it's just loyalfans.com/anycutie. I mean, I'm sure if you just like type any cutie. But yeah. So that's where I'm going to be focusing on now. So I'm not going to post too much on Twitter anymore. I'm not going to post. Well, I hardly post anything on Instagram anyway.
So while we're pimping paid platforms, I've actually entered the world of paid platform. Don't at the moment have any content, but you know, if you want to find my, and we went opposite directions in the only fans derivative sites, you went to loyal fans and I went to unfiltered. The advantages of unfiltered is there is free follow with paywall certain content with subscription level for some of the paywall content, different subscription level for all the paywall content. At the moment, obviously my page is 100% free to follow because there's no content on it. However, for our female or gay viewers, I do intend to put a little bit of nudity. And moreover, and I just have to start finding a little bit of legal in the public domain, one of the things I am going to be putting on there is the reading of erotic stories.
You definitely should. And I mean, you know, you and Bliss don't show your faces to the public, so you could really put some great content out there.
So I have a photo shoot that has not been able to be on any of our social media that I will go there. Behind a very, very conservative, minimal paywall. Just as a test run. You know.
The husband has an OnlyFans. I think it's under bottom drawer photos. His is free and he does post some of our stuff. But he posts a lot of himself too. And he used to just kind of post it up there. And I told him that he needed to put it behind a paywall because maybe not everybody wants to see that, you know? So it's got minimal fees too. But, I get a lot of requests to see, bottom drawers junk, to be honest. Well, and I'm like, just go to his OnlyFans and you can see it there.
So. I will put that in the show links as well. We're giving a lot of treats. We always I would say more of our show and more of our links cater to our straight male fan base. So this episode, while we're talking about turning the power play dynamic on its ear, we might as well also give a little bit to our straight female and gay male listeners.
Bottom Drawers had a little sub himself. He was, it was a little findom thing he had going. Yeah, it was a male too, so he's not completely opposed to that.
So there we go.
I thought it was hot.
So if you want to see a little more of any, we're going to go to our loyal fans. If you want to see a little more of Top, follow his unfiltered, I'm third person. Yours, follow my unfiltered, and because it'll, I haven't uploaded it yet, but I do promise I will. And if you want to see a little more of Bottom Drawer, follow his OnlyFans, and we'll put links to all three right alongside our PhD candidates' links. It's fantastic. That's where
I love it. All right. I don't think that we covered nearly enough on this topic, but we did give our listeners a full episode, so I don't know, maybe somewhere down the line, if you send us your emails and your commentary, we can read it and we can discuss it, or you can send us voice messages to give us your opinion, because
we love the voice messages.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously we're not, you know, personally I feel like I'm very inexperienced when it comes to these kinds of things, but I do enjoy the play quite a bit, so
You know what? If you are the domliest dom that ever domed, or the, well, no, I hate that expression because it's usually used as a pejorative towards people who are fake doms. But if you're a true dominant guy, or you're a really submissive woman who still enjoys your time in the footplay scenario, and you think you've got something more to say that we didn't cover, reach out to us. We love... It's been a long time since we had a guest that we didn't actually know before we had them on the show. You know what I mean?
Right. We do have a couple of really good guests in the works. So
we do. We do. Trying. There's some that we've had in the works for 2 years that just haven't come to fruition yet. And it's like, oh, it's such a tease. But yeah, got some great guests lined up. Always going to be some opportunity for you and I to talk, which is why we do this.
Yeah. And I guess with that,
for those of you who are masturbating to our voices this whole time,
you're welcome.
You're very welcome.
We'll see you next week.